Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart. Made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar. Oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to have intimacy with God. Religion is good until you have intimacy with God, and then religion becomes bad. My guest, Rabbi Jonathan Bernis, interviewing him on his brand new book titled A Rabbi Looks at the Last Days. And I love the title of the first chapter of the book. What if everything you've been told about the last days is wrong? On yesterday's broadcast, we found out that Jonathan came from a Jewish family, got into drugs and partying, and his goal was to become a millionaire by age 30. He was even dealing drugs, and he bumped into Crazy Susie. Crazy was a druggie, and all of a sudden, she was like a completely different person. Did you do a double take when you saw her after she had that change?
I absolutely did, Sid, because it was an unmistakable change in her life. She went from being haggard and emaciated and just had death all over her to smiling, shining, filled with life. And I made the mistake of asking what happened to her, and she devoted the next few months of her life to telling me.
Okay, so you finally decide to go to a Bible study that she invites you to. You go to that study. You can't wait to get out. But in order to get out, there were a few requirements. Tell me about them.
Well, the basement, the study was in the basement, and to get out, I had to go upstairs. And I was invited upstairs by the teacher of the study and another older gentleman that was attending the study. And they took me up to the living room and began to put a Bible in my lap and began to lead me through various scriptures that talked about sin and separation from God and the wages of sin being death, and said I had what I can only describe as a supernatural experience. I didn't hear of any voices. I didn't see anything, but the room literally began to change. I now know it was the presence of God coming into the room, but the room became very hot, and I began to sweat. The light seemed to brighten, and the couch that I was sitting on seemed like it was a trick couch because it literally reached out and held me into place so that I felt like I could not move. I thought it was all rigged and later found out that it was all normal. The lights were normal. It was the Spirit of God coming into the room and convicting me of my sin and separation from Him.
And so you said the prayer. You left determined you'd never go back there. Did you also determine that the prayer didn't mean anything at that time?
Absolutely. I went home and did some drugs to forget the whole experience. It was a horrible experience for me because I was not ready to surrender my life. At least I didn't think so. But within a day or two, I began to have this overwhelming urge to read the scriptures, in particular the New Testament, which is a funny story in itself, Sid, because I had no idea where to find a New Testament. I couldn't go to temple. I didn't have any friends that had New Testaments. And I began to search for a New Testament. Finally, I had to drive all the way back home, about 100 miles on my motorcycle, to find a Bible with a New Testament that someone had given me years earlier when I was in a group called Young Life. And I threw it in my closet in some box, and I drove all the way back from Buffalo to Rochester, New York, just to find that Bible. Went back 100 miles on my motorcycle and began to devour the scriptures, and my life has never been the same since. That's 28 years ago.
And we've been friends for most of that 28 years, and you became a rabbi of a Messianic Jewish synagogue in Rochester, New York, called Shema Yisrael. It was very successful, but then God led you step by step to be involved in what I consider the most exciting sign of the return of Jesus since the formation of modern-day Israel. Tell me about that.
Well, I think what we saw in Russia were the first fruits of an outpouring that's going to hit the Jewish people in an incredible way until all Israel is saved, as it says in Romans chapter 11. But I had this desire planted in me around 1988 to travel to Russia And I was able to bring a team of five people there in May of 1990 and sit in 6 days of ministering to Jewish people in the former Soviet Union in Moscow and St. Petersburg. I led more Jewish people to the Lord than in 6 years of ministry in the United States. I came home obviously fired up, knowing that this was going to be a mission field for me, but never expecting that I would actually move to Russia. I continued traveling back and forth, meeting with Jewish believers, bringing some humanitarian aid. And in 1992, I went to Kiev with Alyosha Rabinov. He was invited, a good friend of ours, a concert pianist. He was invited to put on a concert at his old music school in Kiev and asked me if I would share the gospel after this recital for his family and friends. About 200 people there. And afterwards, I got up, I shared a brief testimony. I invited people to come forward to pray to receive the Lord, and about 90% rushed to the front. I said, something's going on here. And from that evolved this idea to do these huge, what turned into huge outreach festivals of Jewish music and dance.
Now, Jonathan, I remember you telling me this vision, if you will, of what to do there. But your plans were so grandiose that when you talk to a lot of the Messianic Jewish leaders, in fact, I remember being at a meeting where you described it, they were very discouraging, but I thought it sounded wonderful.
Well, it was so, we had already rented by that time. This is what made it so difficult. It was a prayer meeting that you and I attended, a prayer and fasting meeting. And I had already, by faith, rented a 4,000-seat hall. So when a bunch of people, leaders, told me it couldn't work, I was pretty discouraged because I had already committed to a 4,000-seat hall and then invited you to come. I think you were one of the only ones that encouraged me. I invited you to join me, and together we experienced probably the largest gathering of Jewish people to hear the gospel since the book of Acts.
Approximately how many would you say were in that auditorium?
Well, I can tell you exactly, 3,650 a night plus standing room only.
And of course, since it was a Jewish music festival, that alone ensured that most of the people would be Jewish. And I want you to describe, because I was there, but describe with your eyes what happened that first night.
First of all, Sid, the first night, none of us had any idea how many would come. We had been told by a number of leaders in the Jewish community, you can forget about Jewish people coming because they'll be afraid to gather because there's so much anti-Semitism. So none of us had any idea how many would even come. The first shock was that they had to close the doors because the place was packed full about 45 minutes before the concert even began. So we were totally packed. The next thing was wondering how they would respond. Well, from the minute that the music started, they were elated. These were people hungry for their Jewish identity, hungry spiritually. And when I came out and shared my testimony, and I don't even remember the experience well, so it was very surreal. I was just caught up in this incredible anointing. But I shared my testimony briefly. And then at the end, invited people to come down to pray to receive Yeshua, Jesus, and to all of our amazement, not a few people trickled down, but about 80 or 90% of the auditorium stood to their feet and literally rushed down. That's why they call them Russians.
Well, if you weren't going to say that, I was going to say it because I never saw an altar call like that before. I never saw people running to come forward, ever.
Our team was weeping. I was holding back the tears, but about 85% came down. I could see people weeping in the front, raising their hands, praying with sincerity, inviting Jesus, the Messiah of Israel, to come into their lives. It was one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had in my life, and I know you feel the same way when you ministered there.
Well, that's why I feel it was the second most historic time in God's history since the reestablishment of the modern state of Israel to see so many Jewish people running to the altar. And now, you went on, history now tells, you went on to have many of these festivals. Give me some bottom lines, approximately how many people attended and how many Jewish people made professions of faith?
Well, Sid, in the 20 festivals we did through the 90s and into the early part of 2004, we saw about 500,000 people come to these festivals face-to-face, and then millions more that watched on television. In some cases, we broadcast live around the country. But we estimate that about 60% or 65% were Jewish, and we know this from the follow-up cards that we collected. And we probably saw upwards of 100,000 Jewish people respond to the gospel and altar calls. Keep in mind also, Sid, that we started congregations in each city, so now we have at least 15 Messianic Jewish congregations in the former Soviet Union. In fact, the largest Messianic congregation in the world is in Kiev that was started as a result of the outreach there in 1994 that we did. And people are continuing on with their faith. Sid, we saw football stadiums in the mid-90s filled with Jewish people that came knowing they were going to hear the gospel. And I think it's important to explain to those that are listening why this is directly connected to end-time prophecy. Can I do that?
Please.
In the Bible, it's clear that the Jewish people play a key role, not just in the first coming of the Messiah, but in the return of the Messiah. And in Romans 11:25 and other places, but Romans 11:25 is one of the clear scriptures, it says that there's a blindness that's happened to Israel in part until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, and then all Israel will be saved. And then the verse that follows said, and then the Redeemer or the Deliverer will come forth to Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Bottom line here, paraphrase, is that Jesus is coming back when Israel says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Jewish people are the final event before the Messiah returns. The Jewish people coming to faith in Messiah, the blindness coming off of their eyes, and the national repentance of Israel.
But you know what the tragedy is, Jonathan? That so many Gentile Christians are missing their call for the last days. And one of the reasons is they don't understand the last days. And that's why I'm so pleased to release your brand new book, A Rabbi Looks at the Last Days, because there's such fuzziness involved, and people just don't understand their destiny. We're making this book available for a donation of $22. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.